All right, here we go. First question. God told Joshua that if he would just meditate in his word, he would prosper. Is that true or false? False. Why is it false, class? Yes. You're wise to me, aren't you? It sounds good on the surface, doesn't it? God said if we'll just meditate in his word, we'll prosper. He didn't say that. He said, if you meditate in my word and then observe to do what's written therein, then you shall prosper. You see? You got to do both. Does everybody understand that question? All right. False. Good. God, number two, God listened to Joshua, and when God did what he said, the wall fell down. True or false? Huh? Right. You'd be surprised, Helen, how many I get on that sometimes. Just reverse it, you know? People that are doing this in the car on the way here, you know me, don't you? She knows me too well. And I get the ones that did it in the car real quick. Right, that's false because Joshua listened to God, didn't he? Okay. Number three, there were two ways for the walls to fall down. One way takes a lot of work and many deaths, while the other way requires listening to God and doing what he says. True or false? True. I mean, really, Joshua had his... I know. I hate doing that. They say I'm too tricky sometimes, so really, it makes everybody silent. They're afraid that I got a trick in there, but... yeah, I'm a softy. You know, all you have to do is say, wait a minute, I think, and I go, oh, yeah, okay, yeah, right. You know, this is really... a lot like our lives. We're going to find out that in our lives there's usually two ways to do something. There's the way most of the world does something, and there's God's way. Now, the world would have said, well, you need the walls down, we'll charge it, we're going to lose a lot of people, it's going to take a lot of work, but we'll get the walls down eventually, maybe. But there's another way, usually. And the way in the Word of God was a little different. Marching around the walls, blowing the ram's horn, blowing the trumpet, doesn't make a lot of sense, but it works. And you know what? I'm interested in what works. And God's word always works. So, that's true. True or false? God gave Joshua such detailed instructions involving many days of marching around the walls and blowing of the ram's horn and then the shout because God didn't know any other way to get the walls to fall down. True or false? False. Surely there were other ways that God could have said. You're right. That's false. But why do you think God went to such elaborate means to cause the walls to fall down? This is a one you write your answers to. Yes, Madge. He could what? Confuse the people? Well, I'm sure that confused them. Well, that might, you know, I'm sure it confused them, seeing all these people marching around for 6 days. And then marching around seven times on the seventh day. So, you know, that might have been one reason. Anybody got any other ideas on why he might have done this? Right. 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 But we walk by what and not by what? Do you remember that scripture, anybody? We walk by... and not by sight. See, that's what God was doing. He was training them to walk by faith in what he said rather than what seemed reasonable. What God says isn't always reasonable to our senses. See, our senses don't always, you know, it doesn't make a lot of sense that if you need finances, go out and give something away. Right. His word is true. Exactly. That's why you need to get in his word, because his word will show you what to do. And after a while, it doesn't happen overnight, but a wonderful thing happens. You begin to get your mind renewed into the way God thinks, and you begin to start to think like God. That's what it means to get your mind renewed. Romans 12:2 says, be not conformed by this world, but be ye transformed, how? By the renewing of your mind. See, God doesn't want us to be conformed to this world. The world's way would have been charge those walls and just do the very best you can and knock on them and beat on them until they fell down or or you got killed, one of the two. But if you get your mind renewed to the Word of God, you begin to start to think like this Bible thinks, you know, and you begin to train yourself that when the emergencies of life come up, you think like this: what does the Word say? What should I do here? What does the Word say? See, that's getting your mind renewed to the Word of God. Because when we're born again, our spirits are born again, but our mind isn't born again, and our body's not born again. We got to deal with our flesh, and we need to get our mind renewed to the Word of God. And then when you get your mind renewed to the Word of God, it will side in with your spirit and overrule your body. And so that's what God was trying to do, just like Norma said. He was trying to get them to start thinking His thoughts and His ways and not be so concerned about how they would do it. Trust Him that He had the best idea. And sometimes when you do it God's way, you're going to have to step out there in faith, because it's not going to make a lot of sense to a lot of your friends, or at least to the world. Yes, Nikki?
God wants glory from us. And if He would have said, take your sword and go in there, and they could have,
yeah,
the other side could have said, well, they were just stronger than us.
Right. Right. That's a good point. Just like the Red Sea, you know. I mean, that was pretty dramatic, you know. Nobody's going to, maybe you can swim a little faster than those Egyptians, but boy, you walk through on dry ground, that's pretty special, you know. Yeah, that's a good point. Thank you. All right, here's the next one. From Luke 6:46-49, we learn that bad things come to us all. But the one who hears God's word will triumph over adversity, while the one who doesn't hear it will be overcome. True or false? Why is it false? Why, Matt? What's this? Ah. Okay. So it's false, you're saying that, is that right? It's false because the one who hears God's word will triumph over adversity doesn't include the doing part. Is that what you're saying? Right. See. You know, if you read that fast, it sounds pretty good, but see, what was the difference between the two guys? They both heard the word. They were both going to church all the time. They were both going to Bible studies. They were both going to faith conferences. But one of them did what he heard. Okay? That's the key. I mean, I know people who've been Christians for 20 years, and they go to all kinds of conferences, they fly around, they go to Bible seminars, they do all these things, but you know what, in their lives, I don't see a lot of victory, see defeat and things like that, and you know, I think it's because, I'm not trying to judge anybody else, but they don't put into practice. They listen to it, and they can quote scriptures, but folks, the bottom line is doing what that Bible says. That's it, and that's the whole point of our lesson. Okay. What does the Lord mean to you? Write that down. What does Lord mean? And this reason I'm asking this question, because remember in verse 46, Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord? Do not do the things which I say. And then he went on to talk about the two guys that built their houses, so one on sand and one on the rock, because one heard the word and did it, one just heard it. What does it mean? What does he mean when he says, why do you call me Lord, Lord? What does Lord mean? If someone's your Lord, what does that mean? It's your master. Good. It's really the one who has authority and permission to tell us what to do. When you got saved, basically when you confessed Jesus as your Lord, you gave him the authority and permission to come into your life and say, Mike, Stan, Matt, Helen, do it this way. You know, otherwise, you know, God is a gentleman. He doesn't just come in and knock things down and start knocking furniture over and taking charge of your life and doing things. He waits for us to open the door to Him. And so Lord means that we gave Him permission. Now, when we confess Him as Lord at the new birth, He is our Lord. But we actually can do something in our own lives to really make Him Lord. And that's what we're talking about here, really, is becoming a doer of the Word. When you do what His Word says, you are making Him Lord in a very practical fashion in your life. Okay, you're saying, God, I'm trusting you. It doesn't make a lot of sense in this situation. Things are a mess right now, but your word says right now to do it this way. That's what I'm going to do, and I trust you to get me out of it. That's making Jesus Lord. Okay. The word in the book of James tells us to be hearers of the word and not doers only. True or false? Why is that false? Right. I was being tricky again, wasn't I? It says to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Not hearers of the word, not doers only. Good. You're good, Norma. You pick that up. Were you a proofreader sometime in your life or something like that? No? She's been in a few classes. She's wise to me. Did I, honey? Oh, what does Luke 6, 46 to 49 have in common with Joshua and the walls? What do those two accounts have in common about the man that built his house on the sand and the rock and Joshua and the walls? Anybody? Well, that's true. But what was the main thing that caused them both to, both people to succeed? They listened to the Lord. That's half of it.
That and they acted on it.
Attaway. That's right. See, in both cases, see, we're getting this in our heads. It takes a while, but in both cases, they did. See, it wouldn't have done Joshua any good to think, boy, that's an interesting concept here. March around the thing and then just sit back and wait for the walls to fall down. No, he had to actually do something, didn't he? And that's the way in our lives, too. You know, so many times I've thought about this. It's like a checkers game. Two people are sitting at the board, and each one thinks it's the other guy's move, and it just time goes by, and they're all thinking, why doesn't that guy move? And that's what we do with God sometimes. We think it's God's move, and he's waiting us to do his word. And we're waiting on the finances to come in. We're waiting on our kids to get out of the mess they're in. We're waiting on whatever. And he's saying, what are you going to do what my word says in this area? Because, see, the word of God covers all the areas of our lives. For example, if we're worrying about something, you know, we haven't done the word in that area. Did you know that worry is against God's word? God says, be anxious for nothing. That sounds hard, but God is not going to ask us to do anything that's impossible. Or he'd be an unjust God if he did. But then he tells us how to be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Then the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. So every aspect of life has a piece of the Word of God that covers it. That's the thing that we have to train ourselves to apply God's Word. Okay. The Bible also says that when we look in our mirror, which is the Word, it will show us things about ourselves. Is that true or false? Now, I quoted this scripture last week. It's in James chapter 1. We're going to talk about that some more tonight. Is the mirror, first of all, is the Word of God the mirror?
No.
It's not? Not. I thought it was. Isn't that what it means in James chapter 1? It says, be hearers, doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For it's a person that hears the word and doesn't do it. It's like a man that looks at his face in a mirror, sees what manner of man he is, and then goes away and forgets what he saw. I'm not trying to make you wrong, but I'm just trying to say, see what he's saying there. When we look at the Word of God, God tries to reveal something about ourselves in our lives to us a lot of times, okay? Maybe we'll read that tonight, and I think it'll be clear. The Word actually does show you things about yourself, okay? A mirror, though, doesn't usually show the face of others, mostly just us. Is that true or false? Imagine when you look in the mirror, do you mostly see your face or somebody else's? Yeah, that'd be scary, wouldn't it?
That was kind of tricky because haven't you ever been standing in the mirror, looking at yourself in the mirror, and somebody's standing next to you, you can see their face.
I said mostly just us. Most of the time,
well,
that's...
Most then that's right, so that's true. Well,
that is true. Yeah. Yeah, I didn't mean to imply that it was false. The point is that I've had this problem myself. You read the Bible sometimes, you go, boy, that's right, that sounds just like so-and-so, and if they would just straighten up in this area, they'd sure be a lot better Christian. You ever done that, reading the Bible? I have. A lot of times. I'll see people in there, but I'm not supposed to be doing that, really. It's supposed to be a mirror. I'm supposed to be primarily seeing me in there. You know, if I'm so worried about everybody else and what they're doing, you know, it's not really that fruitful in my life. It just gets me upset or whatever. So my point here is, the mirror usually just shows, when we read the Word of God, be careful if every time you read it, you're just seeing somebody else's mistakes and not your own. Okay, that's all I'm saying. Yeah, that's right. But see, I'll tell you a practical example. When I first got saved, I read in the Word of God that says, wives, submit to your husbands. Okay? And I read the part that says, husbands, love your wives. Well, when I would read the part that says, wives, submit to your husbands, I start thinking about Marianne in areas where I didn't think she might be in submission to me. See, that wasn't using it as a mirror, was it? I was seeing Marianne there instead of me. And one day the Lord dealt with me. And he said, did you notice that scripture starts off, wives? It starts off just like that. Wives, submit yourself to your husband. Husbands, love your wives. And the Lord said this. He says, when you see a verse start off, wives, that's for wives. That makes sense, doesn't it? When you see one start off with husbands, that's for husbands. You can leave the one that says wives. You don't have to worry about that one. That's up to her to do that. That's not up to you to enforce that. It's not up to you to go to her and say, honey, you know, I've been noticing lately, you don't seem very submissive to me. You love her. You take care of her. You treat her as you want to be treated, and then I'll take care of her. So it was a lesson learned. Many, many lessons we had to learn, didn't we, honey? Still learning. It's an adventure every day. All right. That's what she said. Boy, that's good. That's exactly what she said, too, and that's a very good point. She says, you know, you make it easy now. Good, thank you. That's great. Who wouldn't? Okay. If we look into the Word, it will tell us what to do in life situations, true or false. True. Because it's that mirror. If we will just listen to what it says, we will be blessed in what we do. True or false? Good. Who said false? Stan said false. Stan, you can tell us why you said false. Good. That's not all. Okay. Just.
Mm-hmm. So that could have been the do right there.
Oh, you got a point there.
False,
I understand what you're saying.
He could be doing that.
All right, I'll accept. Alex. Okay, but you got a good point. So we'll be blessed in what we do. That's good. I see what you mean. All right. Okay, God's way is the Word's way. Is that true or false? That is the Word's way. God wrote the Word of God, so that is His way. God is the Word. Jesus is the Word.
Right. See, I thought that was kind of tricky.
You did.
Because I put false, but I also put the Word is God's way.
Oh, that's what I meant to say. Maybe that'd been a better way to say it. That's what I was trying to say.
The Word is God's way.
Yeah.
I
okay, the way it was worded there, yeah.
But, you know,
I heard Danielle say.
No, I mean.
Danielle say.
Huh?
Yeah, I heard
what
Danielle.
What's in here? So we're like, which one is
see, it? See, that's my reputation, unfortunately. But, I'm not trying to be tricky, really. I'm just trying to, you know, I find myself putting all true things. I write down. See, what I do is I go over the verses that we've studied, and then I try to make it some sort of a true or false statement out of it. And so usually they all start coming out true, because that's what the scripture said. Now, wait a minute. I can't make them all true. So I go back and I'll take out a key word or something like that, or try to, or, you know, reverse it somehow. But I wasn't trying to be tricky on that one. I just meant that, you know, God's way of doing things is the same as the Word's way of doing it. They're the same, that's all I meant. But I should have worded it a little different, probably. So you give yourself credit for that one, Stan.
I think so. Everybody gets
Yeah. Half the class missed Joshua and the whale. They said, oh yeah. I said, in the story of Joshua and the whale, this happened. They just read it real fast. Sure, Joshua and the whale, right? Jonah. All right, one more question. It's a whale of a story.
They rammed it with a whale.
That's what happened. All right. Jesus is called the Word of God because what he did perfectly reflected his Father's will. True or false? True. It's true. That's why he is the Word of God, because he was the Word of his Father in action in all that he did.